1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
How's it going, Higher Side Chatters? Wow, drinking a little drink, smoking way too much smoke in San Diego. I'm Greg Carlwood, your host and handler for the next however long. And this is probably one of my favorite episodes in a while for three main reasons, which I will present to you now. Number one, we got motherfucking Freeman Fly, an awesome guy with some amazing research, and I really had a blast talking to him, and I love the information in this episode. I need more like this. And number two, it's the introduction of a new quickfire news segment that my buddy Rob Davin is going to help me out with every week, which I think adds a lot to the show. Let me know what you think. It's called Higher Education. And number three, I've decided we're going to go for it and do what I've been talking about for a little while. I'm going to take half the donations I get for the show every month and gift that back to a random listener. So how am I going to know who the listeners are? Well, there's two ways. First, you can make a donation on the website, any donation, like $5 or whatever you want. Or you could write your info on a postcard and send it to the address that is posted on thehighersidechats.com under donations. It'll explain everything. So to be clear, you don't have to donate to be in the running, but when you do donate, you help out the show and you increase the impact of this little program and what it could do. So I look at it as a way to help a show you like, to help like-minded people who could probably use a few extra bucks, or that person could be you, and then I don't have to explain why it's a good idea. And I'm going to be honest, I don't get a lot of donations now, so I could be giving away 30 bucks or something. But I just have a good feeling that this new program could grow and be a very positive thing for a lot of people. This could even be the new model for podcast monetization that spreads across the web. So I plan to do this about once a month. How will people identify the shows with a winner? How about every fifth show? So this is episode 78. We'll give it until episode 85 for the first one. Give it a little extra time. And then after that, episode 90, 95, episode 100... Wow, I got to figure something out special for that one. But either way, donate to the show at thehighersidechats.com. Whatever you feel like donating to the show, however much you love me, or you can mail the card with your name and address on it to the P.O. box on the website. As we go, I'll talk about how many donations we've gotten. And on episode 85, we will have the first recipient of the THC Money Bomb. So let's have some fun, help each other out. And that took a little bit of explanation, but now that we know what's happening, I'm going to skip the conspiracies that everybody knows I sell amazing, water-based, high-quality fashion conspiracy shirts at conspiracies.net. Here's your higher education for the week, and then on the other side, my man Freeman is going to drop knowledge. All right, people, this is going to be the first edition of a weekly news segment we're going to call Higher Education, and my man Rob Davin is going to give us his top news stories of the week. It's a way to keep things current and make sure that even on shows about things like sustainable living or psychics or motherfucking spontaneous human combustion or whatever, we're still going to get a little current conspiracy and weird world news into every show. So there you go. And Rob, my man, how you doing? What do you got for me?
Oh, I got some good stuff for you this week. First up, RFK may have swiped JFK's missing brain, and they call it Braingate. John F. Kennedy's noodle didn't get buried with him on November 25th, 1963 at Arlington National Cemetery. His own brother might have been behind the theft, claims a new book. So it goes through the article, and it talks about how they think that RFK is responsible for stealing JFK's brain in order to hide the amount of sickness that was located in his brain. So that's a really interesting
one. Wow. Or to download his consciousness once the transhumanists get a handle on consciousness transfer.
Or to send it back in time to ancient Egypt so he can appear as a bust of some crazy king dude.
They're up to some weird shit. What else you got?
Okay, and then we've got 28 signs that the West Coast is being absolutely fried with nuclear radiation from Fukushima.
Wow.
And this one's from the activist post who have some great articles on a regular basis. They point out 28 different points that point towards Fukushima affecting the west coast of North America. A few of them are polar bears, seals, and walruses along the Alaska coastline are suffering from fur loss and open sores. I've been reading about this one where they're finding these polar bears with, you know, half their fur missing with these big open sores, and nobody seems to have a good explanation for what it is. Number two is there's an epidemic of sea lion deaths along the California coastline. So this all plays in. There's been stuff in BC, in northwestern U.S., where there's been other sea life wash up on shore as well. And experts have found very high levels of cesium-137 in plankton living on the waters of the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and the West Coast. So looks like Fukushima might be a lot bigger of a problem than they're ever really letting on.
Damn. That's right where I live. But, you know, what can you do? It sucks. Radiation's one of those things. It's invisible, so you don't know if you're being affected by it. You don't know who to trust. You know that the government's lying about it, but that's about all you know.
Well, it's the only sure thing in life.
True. What else is happening this week?
And then we have what really happened on the House floor as a stenographer was pulled off.
Yeah.
This is a really strange one. Now, in the mainstream media, the story is this Diane Reedy yelled about God and the Freemasons and not being able to serve two masters on the floor of Congress. What they didn't show you is that just before she gets up and starts on her epic rant, some weird old dude comes over, leans down, says something to her. She stands up like a Stepford wife and walks up to the podium and starts on this big epic rant. Then the mainstream media overlays a second rant that they recorded of her at an elevator on the video of the one of her up at the podium and claimed that that was what she had actually said. So we don't really have a clear audio of what was said on the House floor, only up from the elevator. It's a really weird story.
I saw that one too, and I thought the same thing. Another strange aspect to it is that man that talks to her right before she nods and gets up to the podium, as soon as she walks up there, he turns and he angles himself behind someone who's standing up and he starts texting someone. And he's one of the only people who's not shocked when she starts talking into the microphone. Everybody else kind of looks up and they're like, what the fuck's going on over here? And he doesn't look up at all. It seems like he's texting, it's going on right now, you know, something similar to that. And that dubbing aspect is very strange. I saw the same thing. There's videos out there that go through the reasons why you can tell that this audio is dubbed from this other location. In the video in the other location of the elevator you mentioned, you can see her mouth moving, so you can hear it. And if you listen to the audio that apparently they played on Fox News where she was apparently talking to the microphone on the House floor, you can hear the elevator ding in the background still, apparently.
Exactly.
Really weird. It's like she was programmed to go up there and say something. Nobody in the room seemed all that shocked. They seemed weirded out that someone was talking. And I thought this was just something stupid. Like, I didn't pay attention to the story at all. But what did make me raise the eyebrow is just that man and how much of it. Why dub it? Like, what the hell is going on? You know, that was the weird thing. What they purposely, aggressively went after this and switched it around. Just to make it seem more mysterious. I don't know. I would love to know what she said, though.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to find an audio copy of it, but I've searched high and low, and I cannot find the original audio.
Yeah, the editing of the video is pretty fucking suspicious.
I'd say so.
What a weird world, man. Well, hey, thanks, Rob, for that positive and hopeful outlook on the future. Cannot... wait to do this again. But before you go, if the people want more Rob Davin, where must the people go?
The people should go to darkspace.tv and just keep an eye on there. That's where I post pretty much everything I do.
Excellent, man. Well, thanks again. We'll see you next week.
All right. See ya.
Well, folks, we all know we're living in a strange world of corporate sorcery and celebrity Satanism. We see the symbols and we stand in awe of the power structure that manipulates us through the many tools at their disposal. We want to understand as much as we can, and we'd like to think that our limited understanding of the game makes us immune to the effects of this mighty magic, but I'm not so sure. Well, hopefully today's guest can help us see things a little more clearly. His name is Freeman Fly. He's an internationally known award-winning TV producer, filmmaker, radio talk show host, and lecturer. Freeman is considered an expert in the fields of the occult, trauma-based mind control, government conspiracy, and ancient civilizations, and that's just before he's had his morning coffee. So pack your glass and park your ass, people, because I think today is going to be quite a ride, and I am fucking thrilled. Freeman, man, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, Greg.
Well, it's good to finally have you here, man. You're one of my favorite people, and the timing couldn't be any more appropriate. It seems like in the past year, we've just been bombarded with trauma, nothing but what seems like false flag attacks, strange things happening in space, threats of a police state, the facade of a government shutdown. Seems like we live in pretty troubled times, man, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's totally insane. And honestly, the more we study trauma-based mind control, Satanism, satanic ritual abuse, and then even just the, you know, the powers that be, we constantly are asking ourselves, is this real? It's just when you start to look into human sacrifice and the magical rituals that are involved in creating the rich, you're just left dumbfounded. You're like, these aren't humans. What? This can't be real. This really can't. But then the evidence piles and piles and piles. And I mean, we're studying every day, digging deeper and deeper all the time, trying to figure out why. Why would you perform these rituals? What's the purpose? Why have they been around so long? Who's behind them? You know, we use catch-all phrases all the time, like Illuminati. But of course, this doesn't give us anything. You might as well just say it's Satan, you know, because they're, when you say Illuminati, this is actually a term that was cast out by, I believe, Anthony J. Hilder back in the day when he was doing conspiracy LPs, you know, recording them onto vinyl, right? And so these terms start to stick, and ideas and concepts stick with them. And so now even I have to use the term Illuminati so that people know what I'm talking about, but I'm not talking about anything when I say Illuminati, because it's just a title. It's just the name we've applied to what we would probably consider the Babylonian Brotherhood.
Yeah. I agree, man. There's a lot of convoluted terms, and a lot of people have their own interpretation of things, which also, you know, makes dissecting some of the symbolism weird too, because again, people have their own interpretations. And, you know, one thing I do like about your work, you know, it seems like mostly now we're talking about satanic symbolism, Mark of the Beast symbolism, and a lot of people mention that, but what I think people misinterpret it that's going on is they think it's some kind of Christians versus Satanists type of thing. And that's what I love about your work, is you don't see it that way, because I think Christianity is really just another flavor of brainwashing, because even the mass itself is the worship of a human sacrifice, and the ritual ends with the congregation pretending to eat that person. You know, you hear that the elites might actually be doing these things, and then we're shocked, but half of us are still going to a weekly Sunday simulation without giving it a second thought.
It's so true. It's so true. And I made it to the Holy Land experience. And I'll tell you, if you've ever wanted to see some form of trauma-based ritual, there you have it. You can watch the video on my website on freemantv.com of Jesus being crucified. I mean, I felt like Mel Gibson filming this adventure. But right now, on October 17th, a gentleman named Atwill will be coming forward with a lecture proving that Jesus was a creation of the Roman Empire,
really,
as a form of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when we start to look at it all, we realize, oh my God, everything around us is actually just mind control. It's all set up there to socially engineer us. And of course, we've been tracking this through the realms of Disney and through the different programmings. I was trying to flash back to what you were just saying about the Mark of the Beast and things of that nature, because it's true. It seems so simple when we had Christian patriots coming forward and saying, oh my God, look, these guys are Satanists, right? And so the answer was there. It was simple. Look, it's Satan. And this was never a good enough answer for us. And so we started digging into magic. You know, what is magic? Who is practicing it and why?
Yeah.
And this is when we started to come into the real signs. When everybody's saying, oh, look at their Illuminati hand sign. You know, they're putting the pyramid in the eye on their, you know, in front of their faces and such. And the truth is now the Illuminati never used the eye in the pyramid symbolism. It's just if we're talking about the Bavarian Illuminati. The Freemasons did use it. The ancient Egyptians used it, and it's been used throughout time for the Trinity of Christianity even. So, but never by the group known as the Illuminati, which we're talking about Adam Weishaupt's Bavarian Illuminati of 1776. Mm-hmm. They didn't use that symbol. And so, you know, this starts to convolute the whole conversation. Now, when we dug in, we realized that what we were seeing mostly were the projections of the works of Aleister Crowley.
Interesting. And
the dealings with the Ordo Templi Orientis, or what are known as the Order of the Eastern Templar, which was the magical order that Aleister Crowley took over and remanufactured in the image of his Book of the Law, which was channeled to him by what seemed to be like a gray alien, but was reported to be Horus. No, I crossed those two stories. These are two different channelings. There was the channeling of Lam, who really looked
like Lam.
And then there was the channeling of Awas at the pyramids, where his wife gave him the Book of the Law, you know, through channeled information. And then they based their whole story on this. So when you see Jay-Z running around with Do What Thou Wilt, that is from the Book of the Law.
Hmm.
So when people started to see these signs and symbols, they were misinterpreting things, saying, you know, or just catchphrasing them into it's Illuminati symbolism. Right. And of course, it's OTO symbolism. And when you start to look into them and start to understand their rites and rituals, and you could call them the modern day Illuminati, but you should, you know what you're talking about when you're starting to talk about these things, so that you can relate to which magic and what trauma and who is good and bad and, you know, what's doing what.
Yeah, man. Aleister Crowley is such an interesting character. And I hear his name get thrown around with ties to the Bush family. All kinds of really strange stuff. You know, if you were to look at the landscape today, like, where do you think his impact is manifested most? Where can we see it?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No doubt about it. He was the creator of the 20th century. There is not a band from the British invasion that did not worship Aleister Crowley, from the Beatles to David Bowie to Led Zeppelin. To the Rolling Stones, to Santana, to, you know, they all worship mm-hmm. Crowley. Crowley's on the Sgt. Pepper's album. He's shown his vision is of this Scarlet Woman, like for the OTOites or Thelemites is really what they would call them. And Thelema is the goddess of will in their religion. And this goes to the Whore of Babylon, which they call the Scarlet Woman. And so you will also see the Scarlet Woman make appearances on like the Rolling Stones album. And so then this music was engineered using the concepts of trauma-based mind control, really was what OTO, you know, rituals are based out of, and turned them into music and programmed it into a culture, into a generation, and then carries on forward and forward. Until today we see Miley Cyrus, we see Lady Gaga, a number of others that meet up with the Queen, and you'll notice that they're all dressed in scarlet red to represent the Scarlet Woman.
Hmm.
And one aspect of this OTO Scarlet Woman is the is Kali, this
right.
goddess of destruction, and that's what we're seeing now with Miley and her VMA awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk a little bit about that. I've heard you discuss that in the past. I've seen your video on it. I just wonder why we're being shown this representation, or what type of, does it have some type of energetic effect on the masses?
Well, that's a definite. All the investigations into the ideas of mass hypnosis and the ideas that the Nazis and even Hitler would employ to cause this religious fervor in a people, you can track this all the way back to ancient Greece and the true purpose of actors, which was to invoke a god form into their soul and then portray that on the stage so that all of the audience could partake in this message from the gods. And this has been the same purpose all along. So as we've tracked throughout time, the different, what we call high profile rituals of these goddesses or celebrities across time. So just to name a couple, we look back to Janet Jackson with Justin Timberlake. And of course, note the Disney and Mouseketeer connections all along the way.
Right. But,
at the Super Bowl, when she bared her breast, when Janet Jackson bared her breast in that wardrobe malfunction, you will see a gold sundial on her nipple. So this was a sign of the hermaphroditic god. This was the Baphomet, if you will, that goat-headed god that you see so often attributed to Satan. The hermaphroditic goddess or is often shown, and they always, you know, show one breast, and then the sundial, the gold, is representation of the king, and that's the male. So you have this male-female hermaphroditic symbolism going on, and you'll find this consistent throughout most of the symbolism is the hermaphrodite. Well, you go forward, and we have the whole situation of Madonna, who is a high Kabbalist, who has gone and practiced rituals in the graveyard with rabbis in Israel at midnight. You know, this is the level she is. Mm-hmm. She's high up in this, right? And she comes down in a top hat, which is the sign of the worshipful master within the Freemasonic lodge and probably most every other secret society lodge. The master probably wears a top hat, but I know in Freemasonry, it's an absolute. So she's wearing this like worshipful master coming out of a wedding cake and comes down 13 steps, which is actually a sign of the goddess, and goes to 13 goes to the goddess. She comes down and has that dance with Britney and gives her a kiss. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At this point, Madonna ditches the name Madonna and becomes Esther. Now, Esther is a title within the Eastern Star, which is like co-Freemasonry or the feminine Freemasonry. It's the place where the wives of Freemasons go to do their rituals, right? Okay. Sitting on the pentagram, and Esther is one of the positions on the pentagram. And so now she's taken on this name. Well, now she's gone one more level and taken out the O out of her name and the double N, because this is Kabbalism. And so her name now is MDNA. And the curious thing is that, you know, in Kabbalism, in Hebrew, you don't have vowels. Like O is actually V.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have an O. But an A does exist in the Hebrew alphabet. So people often say when I say she pulled out the vowels, they're like, well, A is a vowel. And I'm like, yes, and it's also Hebrew. You know, that's the first Hebrew letter. All right, let's keep this straight. So MDNA is now her name. And just throw in a weird note that we can maybe clarify a little more later. Madonna has a DNA, just speaking of her name, MDNA, a DNA cleanup crew that follows behind her at every performance, cleaning every piece of her DNA from the backstage and from the, you know, anywhere that she's left.
Really?
Pieces of, yeah.
That's strange.
As a DNA sterilization team. And you'll probably understand why later as we get into the story a little more.
Sure.
But so Madonna gave Britney that kiss and basically passed on this goddesship to Britney. And as you start to see in all the Pepsi commercials, they always have them represented as like Athena and the different goddesses and whatnot. This is their constant role. Well, Britney seemed to want to break out of this situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she then goes to Esther's hair salon, strangely enough, and asks Esther to shave her head, right?
Right.
Well, at this point, she has brunette hair, no longer blonde. And it was curious, although I don't believe the full story of Arizona Wilder, I thought it very interesting. Arizona Wilder was a acclaimed mother of darkness ritual goddess that they used in their high rituals, according to this interview she did with David Icke. And what I found really curious was that Arizona says that she wanted out of the rituals, didn't want to be the high priestess, so she dyed her hair brown. And when this wasn't enough to get her out of the rituals, this took her out of the high priestess status, she then shaved her head.
Huh.
Well, when Britney walked into Esther's hair salon, sporting the name of God in Hebrew on the back of her neck in a Kabbalistic fashion, wearing her Star of David, and asked Esther to cut her hair off, she shaved her own head, right? Britney did.
Yeah.
And she said that when asked why she was doing this, she says, well, I wanted to stop them from plugging things into me. I wanted them to stop using me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when you see her coming out of Esther's hair salon, I've got this in my video, Anna Nicole Brittany and Mind Control, you can see the look of accomplishment on her face. She is actually thinks that she's gotten away. And of course, then they just stick a wig on her head, throw her back up on stage and have her lip syncing till they could get her back into the clinics and reconditioned.
What's curious to me is when someone has that type of breakdown, they seem to be, you know, they seem to not really care about their own well-being. They seem to be completely wanting to distance themselves from this. Why don't we ever hear people making way more conclusive claims about what's really happening? Even Britney's words seem to be somewhat cryptic, and maybe that's just because the gatekeepers don't allow that onto the air when they do speak about it, but you think they might be able to find some way to speak out. That doesn't really seem to be anything they're really concerned with, is informing the public of their situation.
Well, she went into the Promises Clinic and scrawled 666 on her forehead and began screaming she was the Antichrist and tried to hang herself.
Well, maybe she's doing all she can.
It's a difficult thing, you know, because no one believes them. And we're honestly trying to open a platform right now called Release the Stars, where we want them to come forward. We want Corey Feldman to tell us about the pedophilia of Hollywood, as he's going to do with his new book. We want Chuck Barris to come forward and really describe how the CIA hired him as an assassin while doing the Hollywood or the Honey. What was that show? Anyway,
Newlywed Game.
Newlywed Game. There it is. Yeah, you know, here's Chuck Barris, you know, our Gong Show host, and he's out there assassinating people for the CIA. And so we want this to come forward. We've got Roseanne Barr coming forward and possibly working with us to do this campaign.
That would be amazing.
It really would if it would happen. If you know, because I think that this power is so beyond what any of the people are ready to accept. These concepts of magic, you know, these concepts of communication with demons, is the public is now incredulous to these type of topics and doesn't, you know, they don't have a safe place to go because no one's going to believe them. I remember when I was covering Anna Nicole's death and no one believed me. No one thought that my life was in danger for covering this, except for myself, you know, and I saw what it was like for them, because no one really believes this.
Yeah, you know, it's a curious thing because I sometimes wonder where this magic effect begins and where just the money ends. Because, you know, like, let's say, for example, we started a company today and you had your knowledge of all the occult stuff and we put it into all of our logos and imagery and commercials. Does that contribute to the success of a company?
I consider these signs of allegiance.
Gotcha.
So when Starbucks came out with their fish goddess and their Skyla, you know, how they used to describe sex with the fish people, this was a clear indication to the Brotherhood that, hey, they're one of us, because they recognize each other's signs and symbols. I can go through every corporate logo and identify the aspect of Masonic ritual that it represents. So an example would be the canted square. This seems so simple. You'll see it on Dell. You'll see it on Enron. You'll see it on, you know, all over the place. Just a square turned on its side, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing to the uninitiated. But to the initiated, this is the circumambulation or the rotation that you do around the altar as you're being initiated in the ritual is symbolized by this canted square, which also symbolizes Horus. And this is all mathematical. This is using the 47th proposition of Euclid and the works of Aristotle to bring together an idea that shows you this risen child. It really is a Christ symbol, you know, as Horus was like a Christ child, this canted square. You make it an E and then it's a pentagram, because E is the fifth letter in the English language. And so if you have a canted E like Enron or many others, then you've got a pentagram kind of written in there as well. One curious one that I noticed here in town, there's an architectural firm that actually uses the ancient Lumerian script. Now this is like Atlantis time. For builder and great architect, and they use that as their architectural logo. So they're obviously aware of the Lumerian ancient civilization connections as well. But so these are signs of allegiance. But then there are other signs and symbols that are before us that are more magical. So that idea of putting the triangle in front of your face, like everybody is seeing and everybody is doing, mm-hmm. is actually within magic known as the triangle of manifestation. And this is the tool you would use to actually evoke an entity in front of you. And so they're kind of conditioning everybody to do all of this. Meanwhile, they're using books such as Rick Royden, Percy Jackson, and the Kane Chronicles to teach children what it's like to invoke these entities into your soul, especially the Kane Chronicles, about these children invoking Egyptian deities into their souls and then having to deal with the fact that these deities are now possessing their bodies. And this is the storyline for the children. Or yeah. Katy Perry's E.T. Music video.
Where yeah, that was a great video you did, the Katy Perry. Oh,
thank you. That was a fun afternoon where someone was like, a good friend of mine, it's like, we got to make a video about this. You know, that was basically made on the couch. But I like to have fun with this. And I know that the only way we're ever going to get this out to the public and into the public eye is not by being these doomsayers, not by screaming, oh, my God, it's Satan, but by turning it into an entertainment and sharing the information in that way. So my Katy Perry occult meaning video of E.T., is fun, you know, and I try to make it all fun. My chemtrail video is fun, and we're making a new TV show now. May go out on the People's Voice. Maybe it'll just be on freemantv.com. Don't know. But this is my goal. I'm actually trying to make conspiracy entertaining.
Right.
So that we can get past a lot of the hangups that we all have.
Amen, man. I love that injection of humor. That's something I try to do a little bit on this show, and I think it's what sets us apart. It's been a huge factor in the trajectory we're on, but some people are very touchy about their research, and a lot of it's very serious, so I want to be respectful and still just a little more easygoing, you know? I always love just getting high late at night and going down that rabbit hole of YouTube videos, looking at the same kind of stuff we're talking about now, weird symbolism and the comparisons and the Super Bowl halftime show and Olympic ceremonies, stuff we didn't have access to before. But then the next day I'm snapped back to my day job and I just feel alone in the Twilight Zone wondering what is real anymore. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I had that moment when I was working at Kansas University. Now, I was a cook. I was actually the Pizza Hut guy. And I would lay upon all of the, and this is 1999, and I would lay upon all the students that came to get my pizza, this knowledge, you know, HAARP had just been created and they were going to cap the Great Pyramid with gold and all of this. And of course, no one, when they all thought I would be in a bunker somewhere because I talked about the potential of a computer shutdown. I never said I was afraid of it. I never said that it was a problem, and I actually knew that it wasn't going to be. But if you even brought it up, you were a nutter.
Right.
And I'm like, but wait, you know, it's the DOD and FEMA that's telling us to prepare for 3 days. It's not like some crackpot conspiracy theorist on the internet's telling us to do this, right?
Right.
And that was back in the days where people would say, oh, you can read anything on the internet. And I'm like, but it's .gov. I mean, come on. But then I would tell them, you know, seriously, I'm not as concerned about this computer meltdown as I am about the capping of the Great Pyramid with gold. I mean, you guys just don't understand what this means.
What does that mean? I know a lot of people were talking about that. We're talking about basically the Y2K situation. But yeah, a lot of people talked about the capping of the Great Pyramids, that it would activate the pyramids. What's your take on all that?
Well, to me, it was symbolic. And the symbolic gesture of capping the Great Pyramid with the gold capstone is the completion of the Nova Ordo Seclorum, or the New World Order. And so that, to me, as you watch the Y2K ritual, and I'm going to re-release all of this footage in the new TV show, because I was sitting there recording the whole Y2K thing to tear it apart in the future, never knowing that in 5 years' time I was going to have a TV show of my own. But this was something I felt deep in my heart that I needed to do to reveal this ritual to the world. And, of course, YouTube has that completely blocked. It's very hard to watch my first film. You have to actually get the DVD. And the second film on Columbia actually was completely blocked. And a lot of my work gets blocked off of YouTube and off the internet. So you really have to actually get it from me. And it just, they don't want me out there. I mean, there's videos of mine that other people have on their channel. And if I were to download it from their channel and put it up on my channel, it would be blocked worldwide. The Katy Perry video is a prime example. The ET explanation is not allowed on YouTube. A number of them. I can't put up on there. So they're all on my DVDs.
Huh. Well, let's jump back to some of the celebrities. I mean, we went through Janet Jackson. We talked about Britney Spears. Obviously, the most common one that people are talking about right now is Miley Cyrus. And I know you're no stranger to that topic.
Yeah.
She's invoking Cali. What about her performance invokes Cali, and what's the reason for that particular entity to be shown to the public right now?
All right. Well, let's start just a little further back and realize that I've been tracking this influence of Walt Disney Co. as a military industrial corporation mind pattern programming into children to lead to this next generation of demoralization, right?
Okay.
And it began all the way back with the Nazis and Goebbels of the Nazi propagandist was using Walt Disney's techniques to program the Nazi youth because Disney was having such great effects here in America, getting everybody ready and geared for war. So this has not stopped. And as you start to look to all of the Disney productions, and I highly recommend checking out everything that they've done with Touchstone, because most people don't even know Touchstone and Miramax are also Disney. And they're some of the darkest stuff you'll ever see. And Touchstone, of course, brings you shows like Alias, where mm-hmm. they are super spies that have been raised in this trauma-based childhood and conditioned to be super spies by the time they were old enough. And this girl, Alias, and, you know, this is all true. This is all a very, very true story. And they show you the methods and techniques of MK Ultra right there in the television show. They discuss Echelon openly, the complete spying on everyone openly. And of course, this was in the early 2000s when hardly anyone knew about Echelon other than like Bill O'Reilly. So what I'm saying is that these things seem to be innocuous, but Disney is at the heart of almost everything I talk about when it comes to psychological warfare. And Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus are no different. So when we looked to Hannah Montana, Jamie and I went around and we did a film. And we actually filmed across three different nations of Hannah Montana products. And we never found a Hannah Montana free zone. We went to auto parts stores, hobby stores, hardware stores. We went to, of course, Walmart and Target and all of these. And we just found endless, endless rows of Hannah Montana products. Just endless. And this film is already an hour long, and it's a work print version because my computer died while I was making it.
Ah.
But, you know, you can see this, you know, there's a Hannah Montana product for everything you could ever want. Now, Hannah Montana was a conditioning for the elite. This was to condition children to think that there is the lowly you, which was played by Miley Stewart, or Miley was her name in the show. Miley Cyrus was Miley Stewart. And then there was the elite Hannah Montana, the celebrity, the goddess, the one that everybody wished they were. And this type of conditioning gets programmed in so that the children see a separation between the elite and themselves. And that was her original programming for the Hannah Montana show. Now they've got her busting out and she's coming out naked. She's doing soft porn on all of her videos. And
right.
it's pretty hardcore. And this VMA awards thing came out. Now, before the VMAs, we were talking with a 14-year-old girl on Crystal Light Kids Radio and describing different aspects of trauma-based mind control. And, of course, the teddy bear came up. And we were just kind of – the OTO and Kali, all of this came up. And we had no idea that the VMAs were going on the very next day. I wish I had known because I would have prepared all of the things that you were going to see. Just like with the Olympics, I could have told you a script of what you were going to see in that performance. But when we see Miley Cyrus come out of that teddy bear, that is a sign of satanic ritual abuse. That is a constant factor inside of satanic ritual abuse. You'll see, I have a poem from a satanic ritual abuse survivor about their teddy bear, because it's a trigger mechanism that they use. If they can do this to Teddy, they can do it to you, is basically what the teddy tells you. And then it's a cyborg teddy that she's coming out of as well. So this is the whole transhumanist agenda. But as she comes out of this cyborg teddy bear, she is sticking out her tongue, right? And she just keeps sticking her tongue out over and over again. And it's not just at the VMA Awards. It was in her other video. It was in the recent pictures she just did, a nude picture she's put up on her Twitter. And, you know, almost every shot when she was on Saturday Night Live, she had her... And when asked, you know, well, why do you keep, I think it was on Saturday Night Live when they asked her why she kept sticking out her tongue. She said, well, you know, I'm suffering many strokes, yo. And that was her. But you see, she was told to do this. And this was part of the invocation of Kali. Because every image you see of Kali is going to have this tongue sticking out. And as far as it can go, you know, I put this picture of Kali next to Miley and it's identical, you know, it's like, what? So, but she went one step further. As she came out of that teddy bear, she started stroking invisible hair.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was very telling.
So this is taking on the God form. This is bringing it in and then using it. And even when she went up to the big booty on the stage, which this lady had been positioned in the front of the stage to throw candy out to everyone, and Miley Cyrus comes up and gives her a big booty lick, this is, with her tongue hanging out again, you know, this was part of the rituals of the Salem witch trials. You could see the pictures from the Salem witch trials, and also a part of the Knights Templars. Supposed offenses against the church was the kissing of the anus. And this is supposed to be one of the most degrading things that anyone could possibly do. And now there it is on the stage, you know? This invocation of Kali, she is a sign of the end of times. And so basically at this point, what the message is being sent out, the symbolic gesture of this is it's the end. It's the end of America at this point. And there have been so many other things that Miley had done to also bring about this concept and bring it forward. Coming out of a trailer on stage and getting up on a stripper pole at the Teen Choice Awards, singing It's a Party in the USA while the economy crashed. You know, this was something else, teaching all the little girls to be prostitutes, right?
Yeah. I wonder that, because it does, like I said in the intro, kind of, it seems like people... or these power groups are sort of positioning themselves. So to say that it's symbolic of the end times, it seems to make sense when I look at what they're doing. I mean, we saw some weird stuff go on with the Vatican, a pope resigning that never happens. And then this new pope says some pretty out there things for the Catholic Church. It seems like we're in strange times, man.
Absolutely. I mean, when Ratzinger came in, I was already like, oh my God, look, we got a Nazi youth from Bavaria here. You know, and Bavaria is where the Illuminati was born.
Right.
And Pope Ratzinger was such a character. I mean, this guy looked like the Emperor from Star Wars, you know. And I've got some of the weirdest videos of Pope on my website under weird videos. This guy. But as I started to track Ratzinger or Pope Benedict, I learned that he was investigating the Illuminati of all things. And now we're talking about the legitimate Illuminati. Now, the Illuminati were founded by a Jesuit, Adam Weishaupt. And Adam turned against the Jesuits and even tried to recruit some of the Jesuits to join into his new order, which was intended to bring about happiness to mankind through rational thinking. And this is really what the Illuminati's stated goal was. The problem being that they would go to any means in order to bring this about. So the end justified their means. But so the Pope Benedict was digging into the Illuminati, and he has a new book that's come out, which costs like $10,000, about this. Because while he was digging around, he found a document, a 600-year-old misplaced document, that exonerated the Knights Templar of all their supposed wrongdoings, which is pissing on the cross, kissing the anus, denying Christ, even fraud, and all of the things that the Templars were burnt at the stake for. And that's why Friday the 13th, 1307, is the most unlucky day, because that's the day that the Pope went after the Templars.
Interesting.
So he exonerates the Knights Templar. Now, this is a huge deal because they were the richest organization in the world. And of course, they're like, okay, well, where's our money? Where's our stuff? Give us back everything.
Right.
And yet I'm in communication with the commander of the Knights Templar here in Kansas. And I keep bringing this up to him, like, isn't this a big deal to you guys? And they don't really know anything about it, you know?
Huh.
So I find that kind of curious, but I keep pushing and keep pushing. And but so now the new Pope, Francis, has come in and he is a Jesuit. Now, this is the first Jesuit Pope we've ever had. And we've always had the Black Pope, which is the sovereign general of the Jesuits. So mm-hmm. the general of the Jesuits is known as the Black Pope because he wears the black uniform. But now we have a Jesuit also from Argentina, where the Nazis all went after World War II, coming forward as our new pope and saying, yeah, like you're saying, the strangest things. Like I saw a report saying that he believes in a God, but not the Catholic God. Had you heard that one?
No, that's new to me.
And that he, you know, he was a man of the people. He believes money is evil. He took the bus to work and such, you know, this guy.
Right. Really strange.
Yeah. So I'm real curious now that we have two Jesuits in power because of the Black Pope and the White Pope now both being Jesuits. And then the exoneration of the Knights Templar, who they were kind of running side by side, these secret societies in a power structure. So, yeah, that's very curious. At the same time, we've got the Vatican astronomers going forward saying that extraterrestrials are real. And that they would baptize E.T. if he came or and, you know, these aren't any two crackpots of the Vatican. These are the head of the astronomy department and they are the attachés to CERN who were attached to CERN when they were launching a device to the International Space Station that sees the anti-universe.
Wow.
This is a powerful where we're getting sentence. In this thing, you know.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of talk about the opening of gateways, trying to reach cross-dimensionally and interact with some entities. And that's like the most foreign stuff, you know, to the conventional 9-to-5 cubicle worker. But is that really what's going on behind the scenes? Is that like what the elite are spending their time and money and power trying to do?
Well, my latest presentation is called Aliens from Hell. And that is basically all it covers, is this very topic. So if you want to see it, you want to get the real visuals and get aliens from hell.
That was at ConspiracyCon, right?
Yeah.
I saw a good chunk of that. I had to man my T-shirt booth, but when I wasn't, I was checking that out. That was pretty good work. One thing I thought was super fascinating from that, which I encourage anyone to check out a visual, but I was a big Stargate SG-1 fan, and you put all the main characters in line with the people in the Obama administration, and it's right there. They look exactly like those people, and I thought that
crazy,
was
right?
Pretty damning. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, and then you find that, of course, the every Stargate episode acknowledges the cooperation of the United States Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this was 1997, where most people had no idea, still to this day, of course, that we have a United States Space Force, with space battalions, space battle labs, and, you know, the X-37B. And, you know, most people are completely unaware of these secret space programs going on. But there it was. There it was on Stargate. They're wearing the Space Command seals. I mean, those are the real seals of the Space Command. They're in Cheyenne Mountain, where Space Command is. And then they are, of course, dealing with these Egyptian deities, which are seemingly the entities that are being channeled through these rituals. According to most of the research that I do, they are in contact with the Ennead, or the nine gods of Egypt. And this actually plays into the storyline. We need to question the idea of why we're having a financial meltdown, why $6 billion was taken out of food stamps, but $19 billion is going to Orbital Sciences to launch supplies to the International Space Station.
That's a good question. What's going on there?
Yeah. What is more important to these people, right? And currently, it is the space-based operations. It is launching to the International Space Station. And SpaceX, you know, Elon Musk, the competitor with Orbital Sciences, he's got a Dragon spacecraft launched on a Falcon vehicle, which is Horus, using Merlin engines, which of course is a magician, right? They don't shy away from their symbolism in all of this.
Right.
And now, you know, right after I gave the Aliens from Hell presentation at Conspiracy Con, the next week, I had shared with everybody the Mark of the Beast, which ties into all of this, which is the sign and seal of this dimensional barrier breakthrough. And most people don't know what the elite or what the occult believe or know that the Mark of the Beast looks like. Mm-hmm. This is something that we dug out. We were in London, went to this rare bookstore. I can't think of the name of one of the most famous occult shops in London. And I told them to break out their real deal. I said, you know, I'm going to give you, a couple £100. Just dig it out for me. I want to see the real deal. And we got this book from Kenneth Grant on Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God. And this thing started opening the puzzle pieces for me so much in the signs and symbols that we were seeing that I'm like, oh my God, why doesn't anybody know this? Why are pastors, why are Christians running around talking about the Mark of the Beast when they don't even know what it looks like? And when they don't realize that there is a magical order that is putting these things right in front of us all the time, and you don't see it because you're afraid to study magic. You're afraid to open the books of Aleister Crowley or Kenneth Grant or, you know, MacGregor Mathers. You don't want to dig into this stuff and find out. You just want to stand there and say, oh, it's Satan, you know?
And are we talking about the circle with the X on it? I mean,
that's such a simple thing, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you do see it everywhere. It's the Xbox symbol. It's the X-Men symbol from the movies. Russell Brand's new show uses that symbol. I think it's the new operating system for Macintosh also.
That's exactly what I was going to say. A week after I gave the talk on what the Mark of the Beast is, it became the logo for Macintosh. I mean, it was a week later. Here I am now predicting corporate logos, and it is such a simple symbol. It's the O and the X, which again is the hermaphrodite. It's the, you know, male, female, the O and female, the X male. And then it's the transmission between these two that is the barrier that goes to the other side. And this is all represented to them through structures like the Kabbalistic Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you study the signs and symbols of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and you find that there's an abyss. And this is the area, the region where the fallen angels are believed to exist, where the demons are, or where Coronazon or Leviathan, you know, the great serpent, the beast, exists in the abyss. And this beast is symbolized by the number 66. And in English, of course, F, O, and X are 6, 6, and 6, numerologically.
Mm-hmm.
Because O is the 15th letter, X is the 24th letter, and F is the 6th letter, right? So now we're seeing a battle, just to throw out a little weird symbolism. We're seeing a battle between FXX and Exxon.
Huh.
And, you know, Exxon suing FX, which is a subsidiary of Fox, I believe, which is 666. And FX is 66, the number of the abyss. And FXX, of course, it's 666 again.
It's weird that they just started that new station.
Yeah. And now, you know, Exxon's battling for their sign of the abyss, because that XX is actually another symbol for the abyss. It's another relationship to 66. And this is why in Star Wars, when Anakin Skywalker is slaughtering all the Jedi children in the Jedi training camp, the Emperor, who looks like Ratzinger, says, execute order 66.
Ah.
And again, this is the number of the abyss. And you will find this over and over and over again. And Madonna, of course, then came out on the Super Bowl and gave what she called her 33-minute sermon, which, of course, it was to her. She was a high priestess ritual goddess, right?
Mm-hmm.
and repeatedly showed us this VV symbolism making an OX. So in Hebrew, the letter V is 6. And so to do 666 in Hebrew would be VVV, which mm-hmm. would be the Volkswagen logo.
Right.
But you can see in the Volkswagen logo, the two Vs are interlaced because the VV is the 66. That's the abyss. That's the place where they're trying to really communicate with. And then you cross the three, you cross the two Vs, making a third V, making 666. So now you got FXX dealing over this. But so Madonna showed us this over and over again, the VV making the OX symbolism. And no one, you know, no one knows this but me or the few that have read into, you know, the hidden God.
Huh. So what is all this? Are they just superstitious? Are they just going with tradition, or are they, are, you know, is there some real magic behind this? I mean, are they, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to usher in the age of the abyss? Are they trying to take us into the abyss? Are they trying to do some type of dimensional crossover?
Yeah, I have all those questions too. So the evidence that we find, we find channeling of these extra-dimensional entities known as the Ennead or the Nine, which are the nine gods of Egypt, like Isis, Osiris, Nephthys, Geb, Nuit, and the list goes on, nine of them, and that they are actually channeling these entities and getting information from them. The Thule Society, the one that formed the Nazi Party, they said the same thing. They were channeling entities from Hyperborea, from the capital Ultima Thule in the inner earth that came from Atlantis, and were actually giving them all sorts of high-tech gadgets and wizardry, such as V2 rockets and perhaps even a nuclear bomb, and some strange appearing time travel device known as the Bell.
V2 rockets, that's two Vs.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's everywhere they look. I mean, when Jack Parsons was launching the rockets out of America with Wernher von Braun, he was doing rituals to Pan when he would do each of these launches, or they would attempt moonchild rituals and strange things as they were launching all these rockets into space, because that's who these people are.
Man, you know, another thing, you kind of mentioned it earlier with transhumanism, but a big part of the conspiracy movement right now seems to kind of be circling the wagons around this transhumanism idea, Ray Kurzweil, the idea of merging technology with humanity and immortality. Do you think that's kind of the trajectory of the elite?
I really do. I think there's two things going on right now, and that is the potential of a cyclical catastrophe. I believe that they have knowledge of catastrophic events in the ancient past, and that they are projecting and expecting something major to occur. We have all these fireballs coming in. We've got Comet Ison as sort of a threat of doom. You know, the comet has always been a herald of doom. We've got strange meteors coming in, causing sonic booms and earthquakes, which is unheard of. They classified these fireballs as secret. And then now, at this point, at the government shutdown, they have shut down everything we have to view these incoming near-Earth objects.
Right.
So they shut down the space fence. And they've shut down all of our viewing of any of this stuff. So I think that there's something big coming. I don't know if Planet X, I've been following a second sun scenario, because there is a supposed second sun in our solar system. And it looks just like the Firefox logo. It's called G1.9. And, of course, Firefox being the burning 666 again, which this dual sun and the 666 have constantly played together in this story. Even the Nazis' swastika was the black sun again. And the symbol of the Thule Society, the black sun again, with two X's in the middle of it, like the Exxon logo, if I might add.
You mentioned the government shutdown, and we're right now we're pretty deep in the rabbit hole, but if you bring it back to the surface, I actually thought that we would see something happen during the government shutdown, because what better way to convince the masses that they need this government that they've been so critical of recently than to have some type of massive attack or some kind of emergency?
Okay, well, they are preparing their capitals. So I have a page on my website called Global New World Order Capitals. And when you see these capitals like Astana and Kazakhstan, you will see that they are pre-planned cities that are designed as ancient seals from magical grimoires to control demons. I throw these terms around, but I'm just using the terms that they use. This came from the grimoire of King Solomon. He had 72 seals that he used to control these demons and one to bind them all, right? Mm-hmm. And the seal of Astana is this very same seal. When the city plan is a magical emblem. And so they are establishing their new world capitals around the globe. Meanwhile, moving themselves towards immortality. So on the International Space Station, along with the device that sees the anti-universe, is Robonaut 2, which is capable of mind transfer technology. But the only computer powerful enough to send your soul into a robot is owned by CERN at this moment. I think Google and the NSA are actually moving towards quantum computers that might be able to push this type. But the CERN grid is the only computer that is known about capable of mind transfer technologies. So here we have a robot that you could put your soul into. Next to this robot is 19 stem cell projects that is seeking immortality. So the last space shuttle to launch up to the International Space Station before they shut that program down, which of course is known as the Columbia Endeavor for the Discovery of Atlantis. That's the space shuttle titles. When they shut that down, the last Columbia shuttle to the space station dropped off the final immortality stem cell research program along with this. And now, of course, we have Elon Musk and his Falcon Dragons going up there along with the Cygnus from Orbital Sciences. So, yes, they are absolutely, you know, a curious thing. If we go back to Zechariah Sitchin's stories of the ancient past when the flood was occurring, there was a race of the Anunnaki that orbited the planet known as the Agigi. Mm-hmm. And they were left up there to house the gold so that when Planet X returned, they could then get the gold to Planet X. Now, curiously, on the International Space Station, the Japanese built this massive platform, which no one knows what it's there for. At the same time, gold on planet Earth is just coming up missing left and right. All the gold under the Twin Towers, you know, $30 million in gold or more, I don't even know, gone. You know, supposedly the gold in Fort Knox, gone. And I wonder often if it's not sitting up there on the International Space Station on that massive platform waiting to be shipped off to the Anunnaki when they return, you know?
Man, that seems so so out there to think that would happen, and all under our noses, you know, that we wouldn't be able to see that. Why, you know, why would I guess if it's off planet, the Anunnaki wouldn't even make their way here. But it seems like when you're talking about aliens, I always wonder, I mean, I love the idea of it, but I always wonder why they have an incentive to remain in the dark. You know, why wouldn't they just come down?
Well, I think that there's different
races.
Yeah, different things going on. It is a tough question, you know, because some of the evidence leads you to believe that they're time travelers from our future coming back to try and reestablish their timeline.
Yes.
And, you know, the idea of rocketry in interstellar travel is ridiculous. There's no way that they're using rockets. So wormholes actually, you know, does play into this puzzle better. And we have all these multitude of craft that we're seeing, especially the ones that were filmed by the Columbia Space Shuttle during the Tether experiment, that seem to show up also in ancient artifacts. So we do have this idea of them returning and constantly, but if they were here then they're still here and they never left, and everything's just a show.
Right. That's sort of where I'm kind of, the conclusion I'm drawing is that this seems like some type of simulation, even to the mesmerizing sorcery of Hollywood. You know, everyone, that seems to be all anyone cares about is the 9-to-5 job where they're essentially numb, and then come home and absorb whatever Hollywood or the television wants to give them, go to sleep, and start the cycle again. And they do this for 40, 50 years without any thought to what's happening with their own life.
Yeah, and what they're taking into their souls. You know, I saw my mom as a child when she would look like Lucille Ball or Samantha from Bewitched. I'd see the facial movements of the characters from TV on my mom's face, and it kind of tripped me out. And this has kind of stuck with me throughout all this time. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the ultimate tool that the very first corporation, when they attempted to create the television, it was Farnsworth, who was a member of the Golden Dawn Society. This is another esoteric order, one that Crowley also belonged to, but left and was actually in constant warfare with the Golden Dawn and McGregor Mathers. So the Golden Dawn member, Farnsworth, decided he wanted to make a tool that was able to communicate with the other side. And he created what was the first cathode ray tube. And he projected the Maltese cross across the universe, as far as he was concerned, and wanted to see if they could manipulate the pixels on this screen and make communications. So that was the purpose of creating the cathode ray tube, was to actually channel entities from the other side. And then a corporation known as Telefunken took over this concept and decided to make mass-produced televisions. And, of course, Telefunken was a Nazi corporation that was trying to get televisions in everybody's homes. Right. Now, Telefunken went on to create the FM radio and even the first computer. And currently, they are known as AEG, which just happens to be the group that Michael Jackson was suing for the O2 Arena debacle. Of course, then Michael Jackson supposedly died. And I say supposedly because I have evidence to suggest that Michael Jackson time traveled.
And whoa.
This whole thing has been a fluke. And I gotta correct myself. I said it was Farnsworth. It was the Crookes tube, actually. The Golden Dawn member was Crookes, Sir William Crookes, not Farnsworth. Farnsworth then came out with the functioning television, which he said he would never share with his family. But the Crookes tube is actually, I just clicked back in my gotcha. Brain. There.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just kidding. Like, I didn't know.
No, yeah. So just so people can check it out for themselves, the Crookes tube is actually what was. Michael Jackson, man, he was into all of this stuff. Now, curiously enough, he was seeking immortality, and he hired a roboticist to build him a robot that he could transfer his soul into. The robot was known as E-Rock. You can actually see it in a movie called Home Movie. It's a documentary about all these strange homes. And one was the robotic home, and the guy in the roboticist admitted that Michael Jackson had hired him. Now, beyond this, Michael then met up with Uri Geller, who is the Israeli psychic that used to bend keys, and maybe yes. He still does. I don't know. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. But Uri Geller was a psychic that was so impressive that they used him often, and he actually admitted to being used to channeling the Nine, the Ennead, and that he would be brought into these farms and ranches and such with like people like the Astors and whatnot. And even Gene Roddenberry was there and channel the Archons or the Nine, the Ennead. And so Michael Jackson then meets up with Uri Geller and decides to join forces with him seeking immortality. And they go off to the Raelians. Now, Ra'el is Claude Virilion, who met with Yahweh in a flying saucer and came back to open the embassy for the Elohim's return, using the Star David with a swastika as their logo. Huh. Well, so Michael Jackson and Uri met up with the Raelians to try and get a clone. Because who really wants to transfer their soul into a robot, right?
Right. That's archaic.
Their body. And so they met up, and they attempted to get a clone from Clone Aid, and I guess this must have fallen through. Then I interviewed Dr. David Lewis Anderson, who is the head of the Anderson Institute, one of the only open time travel corporations in the world. And he laid on me that the only place that they're really having trouble controlling time travel, you know, people using time travel, mm-hmm. is in Saudi Arabia, And it was curious to me when Michael Jackson, when he supposedly died. Now, I'll tell you, on FreemanTV.com, I have video of Michael Jackson climbing out of the coroner's van after his death. So, you know, take of it what you will. And then a month after Michael Jackson's death, everybody noticed this bust in the Chicago Museum that looked identical to Michael Jackson, an ancient Egyptian artifact from the period of Akhenaten. And it's identical to Michael Jackson, and no one knows who it is. And no one noticed it until after Michael Jackson's death. Supposedly, it's been there all along, but no one ever noticed it. Huh. I mean, it's a spitting image. It's an exact. It's absolutely Michael Jackson from the ancient Egyptian past. And Michael Jackson was found to be $500,000 in debt to this Saudi Arabian. And no one in the news could explain why.
Interesting.
And every now and again, I hear Michael in my head going, "Don't give me away! Don't give me away!"
Oh man, that is wild stuff, man. I love it. But you know, we're at about the top of the hour. I did want to ask you. You know, we're getting into October, November, December, the end of the year. We usually see some major plays on the chessboard towards the end of the year. Is there anything that you're looking out for or that you would encourage people to be wary of?
Yeah, there's a couple of dates I'm watching, 11-13-13. I'm watching this date because this is a time that they are scheduling a drill for a blackout.
We know about drills and real events.
Exactly. I believe it's going on in Florida, and it is an EMP drill. And is another topic that is being covered by J.J. Abrams on a television series called Revolution.
Yeah.
And the idea of just the power grid going down. Now, you know, that would be a huge blow. Huge. I'm glad I live out in Kansas.
Yeah. Man. And, you know, I'm really looking out for November 6th because that's the day that anyone who's watching The Price is Right will see me out in the audience, my lanky, retarded monkey arms jumping up every time the camera passed.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the day that that episode's going to air.
You're on The Price is Right?
Oh, no, just in the audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, super important, clearly.
Well, don't you wonder who... Oh God! What's his name that runs Price is Right?
Right now it's Drew Carey, but it was right. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker. I mean, I wonder how many people he's killed.
You know? Yeah. I mean, apparently they have to do some nefarious things to get to these positions of power.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it.
Right on, man. Well, it is a wild world, that's for sure. You want to tell people where they can keep up with your work and, you know, help support you to keep it going?
Absolutely. FreemanTV.com is the website. 8 years of data there. I put it all there myself, so feel free to click away. You know, it's nothing you've ever heard before, so don't go looking for what you know. Just let it ride. So FreemanTV.com is actually going to be rebuilt, I think, really soon into a new television production coming out. So I already have 8 years of television and audio on there for you to and written, of course, for you to investigate all of these claims that I'm saying, because I back up everything I say and I give you all the links to prove it to yourself, right down to human cloning. And it's all there for you. And the best way to help me right now, because I'm in a editing hole, once you start digging on these new projects and you know, it's like 2 months of nonstop work where you don't really get to do anything else. So it's real hard for me to make money. If you want to help support the new TV show, pick up the flash drive. I have an 8 gigabyte flash drive that has all my presentations mm-hmm. in video form, has over 100 hours of interviews and conspiracy. It comes with an artwork. It includes my latest presentation, Aliens from Hell, as a video as well, and a flash version of our new book, Weird Stuff, which I'm not so certain I should be giving away on this flash drive, but I am. So you get our book, all of my presentations, everything, all of the best shows on one little flash drive. I think that's your best route.
Yeah.
And that helps me out a lot to get the show going. or pick up weird stuff, Operation Culture Creation, if you want to start sharing this stuff with their friends. Because we've decided this is our job now, is to design tools that you can use to share this information with your friends. Because that's what we hear the most as we go around and meet all the listeners in my show, is I have no one to talk to about this stuff. So we want to kind of pop culturize it a bit, and we think we can do so. And Weird Stuff is actually the beginning of this. And Weird Stuff Operation Culture Creation Part 1 is out now. It's going to be a 9-book series. And it's a tool for you to share this information with your friends. I guarantee it catches anyone's eye. We produced it in full color, which is costing us way too much. And we make very little off of the book. But we wanted to make these tools for you to use. So that's what we're doing now, is trying to create tools for people to utilize to share this knowledge.
Right on, man. I mean, I can totally vouch for you with the thumb drive. You know, at ConspiracyCon, we did a little bartering. He took some conspiracies, and I got the flash drive. And I got to say, I think I won on that one. The flash drive is pretty awesome. There's tons of stuff on there. I've been digesting it all week. I really do encourage anyone to check it out. It's a great way to give a donation, and at the same time, you know, you'll help Freeman, but you'll also get a ton back in return. More than $40 is going to get you at Borders, that's for sure.
For sure.
All right, man. Well, that's the show. You know, people, keep an eye out for Freeman's new show. And I hope you guys can put your head back together after the mind-blowing shit we've talked about today. And I'll see you next week. Thanks, Freeman.
Hey, thank you.
There it is, folks. Freeman Fly. Please support his work. And as always, please share and review the show where you can if you like the way I do things. And get your donations in. Or check the website at thehiresidechats.com for more details on how to get involved in the great THC Money Bomb. I'm giving half that money back to one of you in episode 85. But for now, that's a wrap. Your move, Miley Cyrus. Under the pale moon, for so many years I wondered who you are. How could a person like me bring you joy? Under the pale moon, where I see a lot of stars. Ooh, it's enough enough. Sign.